Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everybody, to the Weekend Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to be with you today. We got a lot on tap for the show this hour. We'll be talking with Les Grobstein from WSCR Sports Radio in Chicago about the Bears, the Bulls, and the Cubs coming up on the show. Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago will join us. He'll talk later in the program with Dave Ennett, play-by-play broadcaster for the Northwestern Wildcats, who are doing well. He does games for WGN Radio in Chicago. Our professor of sports will join us from Toronto, John Poulter, talking Major League Baseball, spring training, and hockey coming up. And Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline USA Network will talk NBA with us later in the program. Few notes here for Green Bay. James Starks released after 7 years with the Packers. He was a rookie during their Super Bowl run and contributed there. Kind of tapered off later on the last couple years. And I guess his time was done in Green Bay. Jordy Nelson named the NFL Comeback Player of the Year. And I don't know if y'all know this, but Billy Joel's going to be playing at Lambeau Field on June 17th. That'll be pretty exciting. So there's some Packer news for you. Victor Cruz released from the Giants. He was about to make $7.4 million this year, and the Giants didn't think he was worth it. And the NFL schedule is out in about 2 months, so it's going to be a while. We're going to still talk NFL, though, with Les Grobstein. We'll talk about the Bears and what they've got to do to improve in 2017. And a lot more coming up on the show. The Bulls get a one-point victory over the Celtics on Thursday night. Here's Jimmy Butler. He sunk two free throws in the last minute to put the Bulls over the top. There was a questionable officiating call on a foul on Butler that sent him to the line, but he sunk the shots. Here's Jimmy Butler.
I was still hoping it went in, to tell you the truth. But, you know, we ran it the way we were supposed to. We got the look that we wanted. I told Jaren what move I was going to do, and he got a piece of the elbow. You know, people are going to say, oh, he didn't foul him. But at the end of the day, they made the right call.
Could you take us through the last few seconds on the inbounds when you had the ball? What was your mindset?
Tell you the truth, get a shot up at the basket after turning the ball over on the last one. I was hoping I could get a clean look. I felt I did that. We executed it. Jaren threw the ball in the right way and cut like it was supposed to and make a play.
Here's Bulls coach Fred Hoiberg on the call and on Butler.
You know, I'm excited about these two wins over two very good teams. And again, hopefully we can build off of these coming back from the break.
Jimmy always talks about, obviously, whatever challenge you throw at him, he loves, he embraces, he accepts. But do you ever, as a coach, because he's such a good two-way player, do you ever worry about putting too much on his plate? I mean, he's guarding Isaiah Thomas at one end and making all your big offensive plays at the other end.
Yeah, it's what he wants. I mean, you know, and really it's what the great players want. You know, looking back, the great ones, they want all that in their plate. You know, Jimmy's no exception. He's a guy that's going to go out and take the challenge. Anything that's given to him, and it pays off more often than not.
And Celtics coach Brad Stevens comments.
Well, I mean, they were bigger than us at most every position. So that's an obvious number one, right? And then we didn't do a very good job running down some balls. And so the rebounding is an issue against these guys. There's no two ways around it. It's an issue with most teams against these guys. They're one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the league. Move forward. I thought we played a pretty good game. And all things considered, being 6-9 and the travel and everything else, I was proud of the way we competed. And You know, I'm not going to let, you know, that derail that. I feel good about our team, and I feel good about the direction we're headed. I saw the commotion afterwards, so I figured something was called.
So we'll be back with Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting and Les Grobstein from CBS Sports Radio in Chicago when we return on the Sports Report. Be your own boss. Listen to this from Home Improvement USA. Ideal Furniture can set you up with your own furniture distribution center. You can offer name brand mattress and furniture at a fraction of the cost of traditional retail stores. They combine factory direct pricing with their exclusive no-cost furniture broker marketing system that allows you to substantially undercut retail store prices while generating amazing profits. Getting started with Ideal Furniture is easy with an initial investment under $10,000. They've been around for decades, have over 110 distribution centers across the country, and are rated A+ with the Better Business Bureau and other consumer review sites. Let us walk you through it.
Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. That's 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. Be your own boss. Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com.
I went to a football game, the Packers and the Bears. I got so bummed I did not know the score or even care. I threw up on a Bears fan, he said he'd call the cops. I said that's fine, but all in time now.
Please pass the shots!
Hi, this is Len Dawson, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs. Packer Dave, you know a lot about a lot of things, but you don't know jack cheese about football.
I do know this. This is the time of the year to talk NFL football in Chicago. Bears, I tell you, I'm excited. Here we go.
Please pass the schnapps.
Hey. And you know why, as I bring in Steve Leventhal from Chicago, I'm excited to talk about the Bears this time of the year?
Why?
Because they're still in contention. I always say that about the Brewers, too. I love going to spring training games in Arizona because they're still in it. You know, they haven't started losing yet. So you can be kind of excited about it.
You know, we saw some games the last couple of years where they were piling up the runs. But when it gets into the regular season, the Brewers, they're full like a cheap suit.
What I'm not liking is that when the Cubs go up there, it almost becomes a Cubs home game in Milwaukee. And that's no fun. They got to start winning again, but we got a lot to talk about today. Dave Ennett, the play-by-play broadcaster on WGN for the Northwestern Wildcats, will be with us later in the program. We'll talk about the Bulls' one-point victory over Boston that occurred Thursday night. That was a good game, brings the Bulls near 500. But right now from CBS Sports Radio in Chicago, the Score, we bring in our friend Les Grobstein. Les, how are you today?
Dave, what's going on? By the way, how was your playoff game between the Packers and the Falcons?
I knew that was coming.
Hey, my team plays until late January. Yours plays until mid-November and then kind of says, well, I guess we'll play this thing out.
That's right. At least he knows what January football.
They've played that deep before. They've done it before. And they've had their share. Of course, so has Sonny Bono.
Did I make Les mad right off the bat, Steve? You know, damn. Okay, let's talk about the Bears, Les. Where do we go?
It's not worth getting mad when you're talking about a Packer fan. It's not worth wasting time or energy.
Ah, that's harsh. Les, we've known each other a long time. Why do we have to start like this?
Should have brought the rim shots.
So, Les, what about the Bears? Where do they go now after their 2016 season?
Well, they're in the same place the Chicago Bulls are in. The Bulls are in basketball hell, and the Bears are in football hell. The difference is usually the Bulls are not bad enough to get a legitimate draft pick to really help them get better. Gar Forman, the GM, got into a big argument with a couple of my media cohorts before the season started when he was told, why don't you just strip it down? And he says, I'm not going to be like Philadelphia. I'm not going to win just 10 games. In the case of the Bears this past year, they were bad enough to get a significant draft pick. They're going to have the third pick overall. The problem is they've had a history of screwing the number one pick up also, and Bear fans do not have any confidence whatsoever that they're going to do something. But I think they have more confidence in Ryan Pace than they do, for example, in Gar Forman doing that with the Bears. The thing with Ryan Pace is he really handling the draft? Or is, like I feel, is John Fox just kind of overstepping his boundary, and he's kind of overruling? There's a lot of times then people thought that maybe they would have taken a draft pick in the last couple of years, and Fox himself was asked about it. He says, no, it's something I didn't want to do. And he said, I didn't want to do it. That tells me that, you know, I don't even think that when Pace, when they hired Fox as head coach to replace Trestman, I don't even think that was the choice of the general manager, in this case, Ryan Pace. I am guessing that somebody else in the front office may have had something to do with bringing in John Fox, and I think that he's done what Lovie Smith has done, overstepped his boundary, and that's a big problem the Bears have had for a long time. And coaches trying to do the GM's job, and if the Bears continue to have a head coach overstepping the boundary of the GM, they're never going to be worth a darn anyway.
So how are things working out for Lovie?
He's ill right now. You know, ILL.
Oh, good gosh. He means he's at the coach, head coach, of course, at Illinois.
Okay. Thanks for that, Steve. Now, Les, what about the quarterback situation?
You know, the Bears have had an awful history. On my show in Chicago, and we get calls from all over the world because, just like a lot of other people, the Internet. And there's some idiots out there that they're one of two things. Either they're fans who claim to be Bear fans. They keep saying Jay Cutler is the best quarterback in Bears history, which, of course, is ridiculous. No, he's not. Jim McMahon was better than him. For one season, Jim Miller was better than him. For one season, Rudy Bukich was better than him. The bottom line is they still claim that he's the best quarterback they've ever had. With Jay Cutler, they have done absolutely nothing. And as long as he's here, and so far they haven't gotten rid of him yet. A lot of people are wondering if they're going to cut him. They're just waiting until the last second. And I just have a little sneaky suspicion that they may just – well, there's nobody worth drafting with the third pick overall, and if they draft a quarterback lower down, it's not going to be anything they could really count on to be a starting quarterback right off the bat. And so it wouldn't shock me if they just bring Cutler back for one more year and let that contract just run out naturally. And if that does, why even bother to play the game? So they're done before they even start things, because he ought to be in the bakery business because he's a turnover machine.
Les Grobstein with us from the Score CBS Radio in Chicago. Now, what about the Bulls? They're 28-29 right now, and you touched on it briefly, but they had a nice win against the Celtics. You were at that game.
No, the Celtics got hosed on that. That was a terrible call, and for once, the Boston Celtics, who since Red Auerbach and Bill Russell were running the basketball world, they used to get every call and every break in the world. This shows it's a different world. That was a terrible, terrible foul call on Marcus Smart. What did he maybe brush the elbow of Jimmy Butler? He got two free throws, and that won the game for the Bulls when it looked like Celtics had won. I'm happy. I'm glad the Bulls won the game, but they
That's
didn't deserve
I mean.
To win that.
Yeah, That's but you were I mean. Sitting right there, and Jimmy Butler swears, oh, no, he hit me.
What do you want him to say? What do you want him to say, Steve? Of course he's going to say that. He can't say, hey, I didn't touch him over. You're just not going to get away with something like that. So the bottom line is it was a bad call. Give Butler credit. He made his free throws. The Bulls hung in there. It's the Celtics' problem in that they allowed Chicago to hang around in that game. Boston should have won that thing by about 10, 15 points, but to the Bulls' credit, they hung in there. And it doesn't matter if you're a better team than the opponent. If, especially on the road, you let the other team hang in there, there's a chance you're going to allow officials to maybe determine the outcome of the game. And that's exactly what happened last night.
All right, Les. Now, the Cubs spring training just around the corner. Of course, they won the World Series last year. You will be in Arizona. I hope I get to see you this year down here in Arizona.
You won't see me in Arizona until maybe the next time that the Bears play the Cardinals down there, or if I'm down there for something else. I was last at spring training a couple of years ago and just checked out the new facility, which is beautiful, Sloan Park. But I'm sure I'll be down for spring training again, but it won't be this year. That's after them winning the World Series, that's going to be a major league zoo down there. It's usually that way anyway, but now they won and everybody and their mother is going to want to be down there. And they always lead all of Major League Baseball in attendance for spring training anyway. The only team that comes close to them is the Yankees, and the Yankees won't come close to them. They'll have every single game sold out. When they play on the road in spring training, every game will be sold out. This is they always draw real well. This is a ground that is just being broken big time.
Well, I'm disappointed you're not bringing Kathy down here. You know, you need to root for cover a losing team from a small market that plays in a really crummy part of the valley. Then your crowds won't be so big. I can get a seat right behind home plate for like $25.
And well, that's we why both like going to Maryville Park in South Central Phoenix where the Brewers train, and we always call that baseball spring training version of White Castle because that ballpark looks like a White Castle. And Kathy loves coming down there, and we like going down to down in Charlie's, and I've done some of my radio shows from there, in Scottsdale, and in fact, it's just off Scottsdale on Camelback Road, on Camelback, just off that beautiful place. At some point, we'll be down there. We'll be down there for reasons, whatever. Most recently, too, when they still existed, we covered Chicago Rush, Arizona games down there as well. But now arena football is completely different. The Rush hasn't existed for 4 years, and Arizona is no longer in arena football. They're in a different league altogether, and it's kind of weird. So I hope they ever get their themselves straightened out because I think arena football has only 5 teams left, and Chicago is not one of them.
Well, I know that the Cubs won the World Series, of course, but where do you think they have room for improvement?
I think the Joe Maddon, and he doesn't want to hear this because they won, but he almost screwed up that World Series. He got too cute. He made a lot of decisions that were very questionable, and he almost screwed the whole thing up, the way he handled Aroldis Chapman, the way he stuck him in and left him in Game 6 when they had a big lead, and he didn't need to be in there. And then he was basically fried the next night for Game 7, and he ends up giving that homer up to Rajay Davis, and they end up going into the ninth inning tied up. And then the rains came, and the Cubs give the rain credit for causing to regain their momentum. Well, bottom line is that they were very lucky. They took advantage of bad bullpens. They should have lost to the Giants, and we would have had a decisive last game, and Johnny Cueto would have pitched that game, and he had the Cubs' number. So instead, Bruce Bochy, instead of leaving Moore, his starter, in where he had the Cubs shackled for 8 innings, he let him... He took him right out, went to one of the worst bullpens in baseball, and the Cubs, that's where they were able to torch that. Now, this year, you know, it's hard, it's tough to repeat, and I know talent-wise, you know, they're going to be without the best leadoff man in baseball. That would be Dexter Fowler. He's now a Cardinal. I don't think the Cardinals are really good enough to contend even with Fowler, but we'll see if their pitching's enough to hang them into this thing. As far as other situations with the Cubs, they're actually talking about having Kyle Schwarber lead off, which I think is ridiculous. I know that he'll hit one out of the ballpark every so often, he'll get on, but your on-base percentage at that position from Fowler to Schwarber, that's going to drop. Plus, Schwarber will strike out a lot more than Fowler did, so it'll be a much different situation. And when Bryant comes to bat, there'll be nobody on base in the first inning a lot of times, instead of Fowler, who used to get on, he'd steal, and he'd do a great job on the hit and run. It's a different team, very talented, but you get some other really good teams. Washington's pitching is going to be a lot more healthy this year. The Giants, I don't know if they've done enough to help their bullpen, but they certainly have as good of starting pitching. The Dodgers, they're still going to be very dangerous, and they've got a good closer in Jensen, of course. And, I just don't know how good a couple of these teams are going to be, but a lot of people out west think the Dodgers – very easily could end up overtaking the Cubs and could beat them in a best of seven series. So will it happen? I don't know. That's why they play the games.
And Les, what about the team on the south side?
they're doing what fans have wanted them to do, but the White Sox have refused to do it because, A, the chairman, Mr. Reinsdorf, didn't want to do that because he felt that fans wouldn't tolerate it and attendance would drop like a rock. Well, attendance has been bad anyway. So what they've tried to do the last 4 or 5 years has not worked. And Kenny Williams has steadfastly refused to do a rebuild. He always insisted we're going for it. And the 1 year he really insisted, they thought they were coming off a bad 2007 season. Going into 2008, they were going to be terrible. Well, they came out of nowhere and they won the division that year, and so did the Cubs, and it was the only time both teams ever made the playoffs together since 1906 when they met in the World Series. The White Sox proved they're doing a rebuilding. They got tired of Chris Sale's performance after he, I'm talking about off the field and his attitude and everything else, and when he decided he did not like those alternative uniforms, and he took a scissors and cut them all up in the clubhouse, and they couldn't wear them. They ended up wearing different uniforms that day. Everybody knew his days were probably going to be numbered. They got rid of Adam Eaton. They got a boxcar load of draft picks, a couple of which were supposed to be pretty good, but we're talking a year or two away from them coming to fruition. So we don't know if Quintana is going to be traded, but they're not going to just give him away. They've got to get a similar return than what they got with the dealing of Sale if they're going to unload Quintana. But right now the report is the Houston Astros are the leading candidates to possibly acquire him. It's a division that a lot of people feel, with the exception of Cleveland, is there for the asking. I don't think the White Sox are ready to contend for a division title, but they should be at least, if nothing else, more interesting to watch than the last couple of years where they were out of the race. Last year they were in first place through pretty much 3 weeks into May, and then they ended up just nosediving. So we'll see what happens. They have to be an interesting team to watch if they're going to really draw this year.
You can hear him on WSCR in Chicago, CBS Sports Radio, Les Grobstein. Les, thanks a lot for coming on the show. We'll do it again a few weeks down the line, all right?
It sounds good, Dave, and go Northwestern Wildcats. I hope we see them in the NCAA tournament for the first time ever. And the problem is they've been losing to some bad teams lately, so they're not automatic, but it'll be fun if they get in. It'll be a neat story to cover.
All right, Steve will be talking about it with play-by-play man for WGN, Dave Ennett, later in the show. You're listening to The Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. He's Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. We got a lot more coming up on the show. We're talking hockey today. We're talking baseball. We'll be talking NBA. We're talking Northwestern later on. All on The Sports Report, so stay with us. Be your own boss. Listen to this from Home Improvement USA. Perfect Dreamers Sleep Shops can set you up with your own mattress distribution center, offering name brand mattresses at a fraction of the cost of traditional retail stores. They don't spend a penny on high-priced national media. They combine factory direct pricing with their exclusive no-cost furniture broker marketing system that allows you to substantially undercut retail store prices while generating amazing profits. Getting started with a Perfect Dreamers Sleep Shop is easy, with an initial investment under $5,000. They've been around for decades, have over 100 sleep shops across the country, and are rated A+ with the Better Business Bureau and other consumer review sites. Let us walk you through it.
Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. That's 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. Be your own boss. Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. www.radio.com.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Back on The Sports Report, I'm Packer Dave, joined by Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. And now we bring in our professor of sports from Toronto, John Poulter. John, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, guys. I hope the two of you are doing just as well.
I'm doing fine. How about you, Steve?
Oh, I think it's all good.
Okay. Yeah.
Boy, he sounds really convincing, doesn't he?
You know, I surprised him. Okay, what happens is he's like out in the clouds somewhere, and I'll go to him, and it's too fast, and I catch him off guard, John. See, that never happens with you. You're right on it.
He does that on purpose.
Well, you're right on it, aren't you, John? I mean, you're ready.
I try to be.
Exactly. Well, Steve's only been at this for about 23 years, so... That's 23 right. or 24,
That's
Steve.
Right. By 2025, 2026, I should be good to go.
Well, actually, he worked in college radio, too, which was, I think, when he made the most money, because they paid him like $5 an hour back then, didn't they?
That was high school, and it was $2.50 an hour.
Okay. That's when he made the most money in radio was then, John. When we bring in John on the show now, we're leading up to spring training, so we want to talk about baseball and the teams out there, what their prospects are for 2017. So, John, let's start with the Baltimore Orioles. You picked the Orioles, the Giants, and the Mariners for today's show. So let's start with the Orioles.
Well, the Orioles are a team that are built primarily on power hitting and pitching, and they hit home runs in bunches. In fact, last year they led the American League with 253 home runs, and 47 of those came from designated hitter Mark Trumbo, who was a free agent and has took a while to sign, but has recently re-signed with the Orioles, and 38 of those came from first baseman Chris Davis. At the other end of the scale, they had a league low of 19 stolen bases. And just to put that into perspective, the next lowest team was Oakland with 50. So here's a team that's very definitely built on pitching and on power. Speed is not a part of the Orioles game, which is when you consider the old Oriole teams of the 70s and the 80s and even the late 90s. They were known for their base running ability, but clearly in the 2000s, that's not the way that the Orioles are going to work. Their starting pitching last year was very erratic. It was very inconsistent. Primary starters Chris Tillman and Kevin Gausman and Dylan Bundy all have potential, but they've yet to show that they can produce regularly and consistently at the big league level. So that has to be a concern for the team. The bullpen is a strength, specifically closer Zach Britton. I think last year he was 47 for 47 in save opportunities, and he had an ERA of 0.54. And that's pretty impressive, no matter which way you slice it. And in 2016, the Orioles bullpen had an American League best ERA of 3.4. So clearly getting to the bullpen is going to be their best option this year. There's some tough competition in the American League East. You got the free-spending Yankees, the free-spending Red Sox, and, of course, the contending Blue Jays. So I think a return to the postseason is not going to be easy. And I think the other factor that's going to be very interesting here is to see if there's any kind of carryover to Buck Showalter's decision not to use Britton in that one-game playoff with the Blue Jays last year, simply because the Orioles didn't have a lead. A lot of people think that that may have cost them the game, and I'm very curious to see how that carries over into the 2017 season. So I think the Orioles still have some holes, but they've got a very good team to build on. Their biggest challenge may be the fact, the geography in terms of the division that they play in.
All right, now let's move on to the Giants.
Well, the Giants, I guess 2016 being an even year, I guess many of us expected that they would go out and win the World Series. They'd won it in 10, they'd won it in 12, they'd won it in 14. Surely it was their turn in 16, but they broke that streak last year. And for a long time, it looked like they were actually going to do it again, because at the All-Star break, they were a Major League best 57-33. You look at the standings, you'll see that at the end of the year they finished at 87-75. So that means that their post All-Star game record was 30-42, and that was amongst the worst in Major League Baseball. So I guess the question is, what happened? Well, what really happened was that their bullpen fell apart. I mean, despite strong position players in Buster Posey, Brandon Belt, Joe Panik, Brandon Crawford, Hunter Pence, this is a team that still relies on pitching. And when I say relies on pitching, I'm talking, at least last year, primarily starting pitching to get its results. Madison Bumgarner, Johnny Cueto, Matt Moore, who they obtained midseason from Tampa Bay, and Jeff Samardzija were their main four starters, and they looked to carry them as far as they could. And the starting staff is expected in that team to get them to at least the seventh inning, preferably the eighth. Most teams now look at six innings as being something that they like to see their starter get to, but in the terms of the Giants, they need to get to the seventh or the eighth simply because their bullpen is so bad. And they did solve a big piece of that last year. The back end was weak, blowing 30 of 73 save opportunities, which was the highest in Major League Baseball. Overall, the pitching staff was in the top half in most categories and in the top 10 in three of those categories, three very important ones. That's ERA, wins, and opponent's batting average. So they had to go out and solve this problem. So what they ended up doing was they went out and they resolved that problem by signing former Pirate and Nationals closer Mark Melancon to a four-year, $82 million contract in the offseason. And last season, Melancon had 30 saves, and at age 32, he would appear to be a good fit on a strong team like the Giants. So he's expensive, but he's not got a lot of miles on him, and he's proven over the last 4 or 5 years that he can be an effective closer. Perhaps one of the other strengths with the Giants is their manager, Bruce Bochy. He's a certain Hall of Famer. He's well-respected in the game, seems to have a knack of finding the right spots for his players in game situations, and I don't see any reason why that won't continue. Interestingly, here's a really odd stat for you. Barry Bonds retired 9 years ago, and in the last 9 years, the Giants have had nine different starting opening day left fielders, and it looks like Matt Williamson is likely to make it 10 for 10 this year. So, interesting year for the Giants. They have the Dodgers, of course, to contend with, which is always a battle. The Dodgers and the Giants, that's a battle going back to their early days in New York. So we're now at a stage where we have to see what this is going to come down to. Have the Giants improved enough? We won't know, but clearly the Dodgers are going to be their biggest competition.
All right, John. And quickly on the Mariners.
Well, the Mariners made a lot of changes over the offseason. They haven't been in the postseason since 2001. Second in the West last year, busiest team in the American League in terms of free agents and trades. If I had a second job, I guess the job would be the moving man in Seattle because the Mariners are going to keep me busy. They signed or traded for shortstop Jean Segura from Arizona, and last year he led the National League in hits with 203, put up good numbers all around, 20 homers, 33 stolen bases, 64 ribbies. He'll solidify the team at leadoff, and he'll play good defense. Danny Valencia comes over from Oakland to play first base. Well-balanced team, good defensively, better than average pitching, good power. Nelson Cruz, 43 homers. Robinson Cano, 39. Kyle Seager, 30. Starting pitching again is a strength. Begins, doesn't end, but begins with Felix Hernandez, one of the game's best. But Iwakami and Paxton round out a very good top three. And their bullpen is getting strong. Edwin Diaz had 18 saves after the 1st of August, so looks like he's coming around in terms of being their strength. Where an interesting stat with the Mariners, they played a Major League Baseball high of 61-run games last year, and they split them right down the middle at 30-30. So if they could improve that just a little bit, they could be in the thick of things with the two so-called heavyweights in that division, which are Houston and Texas. But, you know, I think that the Rangers and the Astros will continue to be the biggest obstacle that the Mariners face going to the postseason. A healthy Felix Hernandez would be a huge help in making the AL West a long-term or season-long three-team race. Frankly, I don't see it happening, but you never know. Somebody has a career year. Hernandez is healthy all year, wins 20, 22 games. It could happen, but I still think Houston and Texas are the teams to look at in the American League West.
John Poulter with us from Toronto. He's in Canada, so he loves hockey. And about 2 minutes on hockey, John. We have Washington winners of six in a row, also St. Louis. So they're the hot teams in the NHL right now.
Yeah, and interestingly, St. Louis winning six in a row, all of that since there was a coaching change from Ken Hitchcock to Mike Yeo. Question always happens, always comes up when a coaching change is made. Is the second coach really better, or is it just that he is a fresh voice. And it's actually kind of interesting that there's been five coaches fired this year in the NHL, and we'll take Montreal out of that mix because that only happened this past Tuesday and they haven't played a game since. But the other four teams, Florida, the Islanders, St. Louis, and Boston, have all shown quite an improvement after they made a coaching change. So, you know, are we looking at a situation where players just get tired of listening to these guys? Very possible, but Washington, once again, a bit of a juggernaut in terms of the regular season, an incredible difference in goals scored for Washington. I think it's around 80 the last time I looked. That's an incredible stat when you think of it, the plus and minus. To be at 80 at this stage of the season, here's a team that's playing well offensively and certainly playing well defensively and getting good goaltending, and that's a perfect recipe for a winning team. And I guess the other big news this past week was that Sidney Crosby finally got his 1,000th point, the 86th player in NHL history to do that. That's quite an achievement, and it's good to see Crosby back. A couple of years ago, it looked like he might not be able to play much longer with these concussion issues, but he certainly come back and played well, and that only looks good for Pittsburgh, but it's good for hockey as well.
John Poulter from Toronto, once again, great information on baseball and hockey. We will do it again next week, my friend. Talk to you soon.
You betcha. Thanks, guys. Take care, and we'll chat next week.
And now we bring in from the Sports Byline USA Network, you hear him, Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Time at sportsbyline.com. He is Jeff Rich. Jeff, welcome to the Sports Report today.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It's always an honor to be here.
Really? Steve, no. What about you? Is it an honor for you to be here?
To be in your presence, oh, great one, Packer Dave. Absolutely.
Yeah, there we go. So, Jeff, the NBA right now, the Bulls came away with a nice win last night. So that's kind of cool. Thursday night, I should say. And so they're almost 500. What do you think of that?
I think the Bulls just can't figure it out. You know, I thought that they had a good coach in Tommy Thibodeau. You know, the mayor, Fred Hoiberg, has come in there, and, you know, big change of characters there. You know, it's a far cry from the days of Michael Jordan, but I wonder how limited Jimmy Butler's future is in Chicago.
Okay. And right now, Golden State, 8 out of their last 10, they're winners. And they are on top of the Western Conference, in the Western Conference. Golden State, is that the best team in the league? Is that the one that you would say is going to go all the way right now? But you're from Cleveland, I know.
I mean, you know, it's really boring to say that the same two teams that have been in the championship the last 2 years are going to be there again, but I don't know if the gap is closed in the West. You know, Golden State didn't have the easiest time making it through the playoffs in 2016. They had a little easier time when they won the title in 2015. But, I mean, there's no denying when you win 4 out of every 5 games or 5 out of every 6 games how good you are. Nobody's questioning how good Golden State is. I think that they survived what was supposed to be a better test against Oklahoma City, even though that's a one-man show with Russell Westbrook. It's Russell Westbrook and the Pips there.
Okay, and my Milwaukee Bucks right now streaking on a 3-game winning streak. They're only 5 games under 500. Do you think Milwaukee maybe sneaks in and gets a 7th or 8th seed in the East? Maybe.
I don't see why not. You know, if we talk about the Bulls trading Butler, obviously they're punting on the 2016-2017 season. You know, the Pistons, they seem to play good ball when they're into it and not so good ball when they're not. And, you know, the Bucks, I mean, the Greek Freak, you know, he's really exciting. Unfortunately, with Jabari Parker going down, I just don't think that they have all the pieces in place. I think it's possible that they sneak in, but you know, that's like NBA purgatory there, that seventh, eighth seed, or the, you know, first team, second team out, where you're not going to get a good lottery pick unless you miraculously actually win the lottery or end up in that top three. So, you know, it's promising for the Bucks in the future. I don't know that it's necessarily going to have, I don't necessarily know that there's going to be postseason basketball in Milwaukee in 2017.
Jeff Rich is with us from the Sports Byline USA Network. You can hear him Sunday mornings. He is from Cleveland, but lives in the Phoenix area now, and that's where he comes to us from. Now your Cavaliers. They've also won three in a row and sit atop the Eastern Conference. Is it going to be that showdown between Golden State and Cleveland? I think it will be, but what about you?
I think so, too. I think that they might actually struggle to land the number one seed again. You know, 2 years ago when they did make the finals and they lost to Golden State in six games, they were so far behind Atlanta because Atlanta was so hot that season. I just think that they either win the East by default or somebody steps up and takes it from them. Playing without Kevin Love, playing without J.R. Smith, you know, they made some additions. They've added Kyle Korver, you know. Derek Williams, who was the number two pick in the draft, that was basically supposed to be a coin flip between Kyrie Irving and Derek Williams. You know, the first year post LeBron for the Cavaliers. It's interesting, you know, they have LeBron James, so they're never out of it. Kyrie Irving's emerging as a superstar in his own right, but Kevin Love was a very valuable player when he's played in the postseason, but he's oft injured, and, you know, this is going to heat up should the Cavaliers trade Kevin Love for, you know, in a Carmelo Anthony deal with the New York Knicks.
So, Jeff, do you see any scenario where the Celtics or the Wizards would sneak up on the Cavaliers?
Oh, sure. Sure, I think it's possible. You know, as it sits right now, Celtics are three games back. The Wizards are five games back. The Wizards play the Cavaliers tough. I mean, you know, it's not like the days of old, you know, LeBron 1.0 in Cleveland where the Wizards were meeting the Cavaliers every year in the playoffs. But the day after the Super Bowl, that Monday, Cleveland and Washington played a pretty epic regular season game where, you know, it was 140 to 135. You know, Kevin Love had to throw that long outlet pass to LeBron for him to hit the fadeaway three just to force overtime. I thought that put the Wizards on the map. I thought even though that they lost that game, they're coming into their own right. They've got a lot of lottery picks on that team between Otto Porter, Bradley Beal, you know, of course, John Wall. You know, they create matchup problems in the post with Marcin Gortat. You know, Cleveland's got Tristan Thompson, but very little else to match up with them, with Birdman Chris Anderson not only being out to injury, but also being released by the Cavaliers.
So in the All-Star game, who you like in the East or the West?
Who cares?
it is one of those who cares kind of moments, because a typical All-Star game is about 175 to 166, but you know, you're reuniting, you know, a couple of Thunder teammates and Durant and Harden. You know, Curry's in there. Yeah, obviously, Westbrook's in there as a reserve. DeMarcus Cousins might be playing his last All-Star game representing the Western Conference. You know, it's basically the Golden State Warriors and some friends representing the West. And then it's a couple Cleveland Cavaliers that, like I said, Love's out for 6 weeks, so he's not going to play. But it'll be nice to see LeBron James playing next to let's see if I can pronounce this right. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak from the Milwaukee Bucks that we talked about earlier. Isaiah Thomas, I mean, that's a player that I think that there's got to be a lot of seller's remorse, you know, looking at Ryan McDonough and the Phoenix Suns organization for letting that guy go. You know, I look for an exciting game, not a lot of defense, but you know, the best teams in the league don't even play defense anymore. It's kind of sad, but, you know, so this exhibition is more an imitation of reality than it is, you know, just an exhibition of scoring like it has been in the past.
Yeah, you mentioned Isaiah Thomas, and, of course, I saw him in Thursday night here in Chicago. That kid's got game.
Oh, most definitely. You know, that's a guy that, you know, despite the fact that he's got a very famous name, he's making a name for himself in his own right.
All right, Jeff Rich with us. You know, I, Steve, covered the 2009 NBA All-Star Game here in Arizona, in Phoenix. And before the game, a couple nights before, I woke up, I told my wife, I just had a dream that I met Bill Russell. So I went to the All-Star Game, and in some of the press conferences beforehand, they announced the new NBA championship trophy. They're renaming it the Bill Russell Trophy. I was at the press conference. He was up there. He was speaking. After the press conference, I walked up to him and I shook his hand and I said, "Mr. Russell, you were in my dreams two nights ago." And
then he looked at him, slapped him.
Then he got security. But no, that's actually a true story. It's I said, "Well, I dreamt that I met you. I didn't have any other types of dreams about Bill Russell.
Don't go there. Anyway, you know,
one of my favorite Bill Russell stories is that he was a pallbearer for Jackie Robinson. You know, that's a big thing. You know, these guys that were, you know, revolutionaries, you know, towards the game, you know,
right?
the NBA doesn't have as dark a history with, you know, with the color barrier as perhaps baseball does, but, you know, when, you know, and also when Bill Russell met Tim Duncan, you know, he's like the great Tim Duncan, and Tim Duncan was just so humbled. And he said, "You're the great Bill Russell." You know, this is, you know, he's just a true icon for the game. And, you know, one of my favorite memories from the NBA, being the Cavaliers fan that I am, was watching them accept the Eastern Conference trophy after beating Detroit in 2007 to go to the finals to be swept by San Antonio. That, you know, Bill Russell's talking to the Cavaliers, but really specifically to LeBron James, and said, you know, you're not only representing Cleveland here, now you're representing the Eastern Conference. And that seemed to resonate with LeBron. So Bill Russell speaks really strong words, and hopefully he told you something compelling in your dreams. But, you know, I've known you since 2009, and obviously before that, Packer Dave. And I'm going to tell you, Bill Russell being in Packer Dave's dreams is probably his biggest nightmare.
All right, Steve, what?
No, I was going to say, talk about meeting players. I don't know if Jeff's old enough to remember.
Oh, we got 2 minutes, Steve.
Cedric Cornbread Maxwell, remember him, Dave?
Who cares about Cornbread? Fred Maxwell. Yeah, I remember. What?
1977, Final Four.
10 seconds.
He was very nice. Met him at the Celtics game because he's a radio announcer for the Celts.
All right, swell. Jeff, thank you very much for coming on the show. And everybody listen to Jeff on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. That's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Sportsbyline.com. He'll talk about more interesting things than meeting Cornbread Maxwell on the show. Jeff, thanks for coming on.
Hey, cornbread is my favorite side dish to get with my pulled pork barbecue. So don't shut up, Leventhal, so much.
All right. There he goes, Jeff Rich. Take care.
All right, go ahead.
Ready? All right, 3, 2, 1. I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. And now we're going to talk about Northwestern Wildcats basketball. We don't do that a whole lot over the course of the time on this show, but they're having a really good year this year, Steve. And you were able to catch the game on Wednesday night and cover it. Right now, Northwestern, are you surprised?
I guess I am in a way, and I am not, because when they brought in Doug Collins' son, Chris, the plan was to bring him up into the upper echelon, and they're in year four, and it looks like that's happening.
All right, so let's hear from the Wildcats here, Steve. What do you got on the plate?
So from their game against Maryland, here is Northwestern coach Chris Collins talks about the performance of Maryland's star guard against his team.
Thought Trimble was fantastic. It's as good as I've seen him play. And he's played a lot of good games, so that's saying something. But, you know, he hasn't been shooting the ball as well from three. You know, that was something. I think he was 3 for 22 from three coming into the game tonight. I thought what we didn't do a great job of is he's very shifty, and you got to do a good job of trying to stay between him and the basket. I thought he was able to split the ball screens a few times. He was able to get angles to the basket, and he got, you know, layups, which is tough. I mean, as a player, when you get layups, then the basket looks really big.
Terrapins coach Mark Turgeon talks about the last few games down the stretch here and how important they are.
Well, we just talked about what a great week for us. We got a team that's one game behind us on their home court. It's a heck of a team. It's unbelievably well coached. And then we go to Wisconsin on Sunday, a team that's ahead of us, and we need to lock in. You know, you see light at the end of the tunnel. There's 6 games left. Now there's 5. We got to lock in, and our energy level's got to be great. We talked about just a lot of things, and you know, I think our guys are taking it to heart, but it's just one game. We played well, and we got to, you know, do it again on Sunday.
Now we bring in play-by-play broadcaster on WGN Radio for the Northwestern Wildcats football and basketball. Of course, we're talking basketball right now. He is Dave Ennett. Dave, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you guys.
Well, you were at the game, and you met up with Dave on Wednesday night. So, Steve and Dave, Northwestern basketball, some excitement in Chicago right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately for Northwestern, Melo Trimble, the star for Maryland, decided to break out of his slump on Wednesday night against the Wildcats.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best players in the Big Ten and really had his best game in a while. I mean, he had a career-high 32 points, but he had not been shooting all that well, especially from long range, and he hit his first four three-pointers, I think, in that game. And, you know, a guy's going to have a game like that every once in a while, and it obviously made it a lot tougher for Northwestern, but they weren't making shots. It was a pretty much a lethal combination.
Well, that plus the fact that Bryant McIntosh got into foul trouble, and you're missing mm-hmm. Scotty Lindsey and his 15.4 points per game.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. They were able to overcome Lindsey's absence in their win on Sunday at Wisconsin, but let's face it, that's a lot of offense. That's a lot of scoring to take away, and to do it consistently to get by without your leading scorer is tough. That said, they did give themselves a chance towards the end. They came from 20 down, cut it down to 8 with just over a minute to go. But that's a pretty deep hole from which to try to dig, especially against a team that good.
Well, and as Chris Collins himself said in the post game, when you're not a team that averages a lot of points and you start missing a few shots against a really good team, it's a lethal combination.
Yeah, and you know, they're a good defensive team. I mean, they've been a 1 or 2 in scoring defense, field goal percentage defense in the Big Ten pretty much throughout the season. But once in a while, you're going to have a night where someone's going to go off. That happened with Trimble, and you know, Vic Law has done such a tremendous job defending the opposing team's top scorer in general. That's usually his matchup, and he shut down some of the best scorers in the league, but sometimes it's your night, and this was Trimble's night.
So let's talk about Northwestern just overall. You know, 4 years ago, the team made a decision. They wanted to bring this team up into the next level. They went down to the Dukes program, took away assistant coach, and, of course, Chicago native Chris Collins. You know, what's your assessment of are they on track, and are you surprised that they are where they're at right now?
I'm not really surprised that they're where they are. They won 20 games a year ago. I guess you would look at it and think that they're on track because they've made improvements over the course of the 4 years, and this has clearly been their best year. And you know, I think they're still in very good position for the NCAA tournament. Now, that's not to say they could afford to lose all their remaining games or afford to lose to Rutgers this weekend and be assured a spot. But I think if they're able to kind of maintain through the rest of the regular season, they've also got the Big Ten tournament. You know, I think they're going to be okay. I'm not sure that even with a healthy Scotty Lindsey that they come out of this stretch, you know, maybe they would have been 1-3 coming through this 4-game stretch with Purdue, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Maryland. Now, maybe it's the game they won that would catch people by surprise when you mention those four schools. But, you know, I think that they've had a very good year. They have avoided those bad losses. Right now, the loss to Illinois is the only one that I think in the eyes of the selection committee would be considered a bad loss. I don't think they're happy with the way they played against Maryland the other night, especially on their home court, and they've dropped 2 straight at home. But I still think you have to look at Maryland, the talent they have. They're tied for the Big Ten lead now. And so I don't think that in any way can be characterized as a bad loss. But, you know, they lost in the final seconds to Butler on the road. They lost in the final seconds to Notre Dame. Those are two really good programs. They beat Dayton at the United Center. They had the big win at Wisconsin. So I think you look at what they've done, their body of work, I think, has been very good.
Yeah, if you've got to believe that this is finally going to be the year.
Well, you do, Steve. I mean, I think that, you know, it's something that they've been close before, but quite frankly, they've always come up a little bit short. And, you know, it's for me right now, looking at it, looking what they've done, the way they've played, it's hard to envision them not hearing their name called on Selection Sunday. Now, stranger things have happened. One thing that's happening now is some of the teams that were thought to be out of it or very deeply on the bubble not that long ago are starting to play their way back into NCAA tournament consideration in the Big Ten. And one of those teams is Michigan, a team the Wildcats still have to play. So that suddenly has emerged as a very big game 2 weeks from now when Michigan comes into Welch Ryan Arena. The Wolverines coming off a win over Wisconsin as well. So, you know, it's not ever supposed to be easy, I guess, and it's not necessarily going to be easy for them, but I think they've put themselves in a really good position.
So the last question I want to ask you is, how do you see the Big Ten race down the stretch here? Because you've got three teams in first place and ostensibly two teams in second place, with Northwestern being one of them. But Maryland, Purdue, and Wisconsin, who do you think is likely to emerge out of that?
Well, you know, the funny thing is that it could very well be Michigan State that sort of determines how this all shakes out. Because if you look at what's happened to this point, you know, Purdue defeated Wisconsin. That was the Badgers' only loss prior to losing to Northwestern last weekend. But if you look at it and you look at what remains here for these teams, Michigan State still has games remaining against Purdue this weekend, against Wisconsin, and against Maryland. So Michigan State, which course had kind of been struggling there, losing four out of five, and then now they've come back and won four out of five. If they can go into West Lafayette and beat Purdue, then beat Wisconsin at home, they've got that game at Maryland and the season. Suddenly they've really thrown things up for grabs. But I would say right now Purdue has been playing the best of the three co-leaders, and they're very tough to beat at home, and so I think you probably have to give the nod to Purdue at the moment. But it wouldn't shock me to see any of those three emerge. And again, with Michigan State kind of a wild card here, and tied right now with Northwestern for that fourth spot. So, you know, the top four get that double bye in the Big Ten tournament. So there's a lot at stake to encourage these teams to finish in the top four, and I put Northwestern in that group too.
Dave Ennett, play-by-play broadcaster for Northwestern on WGN Radio. Dave, thanks so much for coming on the show today, and hopefully we can do it when they're in the Sweet 16 and maybe the Elite 8. How does that sound?
That sounds great. We'd love to do it, guys.
All right. Take care. And we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Sports Report. Check us out online at internetfm.com. That's internetfm.com. Or kwwradio.com. kwwradio.com. New shows posted Friday afternoons. You can listen on demand at those websites. So for Dave Ennett from WGN, for Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline Network, for John Poulter out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Les Grobstein from The Score in Chicago, and Steve Leventhal at SRN Broadcasting in Chicago, I'm Packer Dave saying thanks a lot for listening. Take care. Come back next week. See you later. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Get some beers, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. Now you ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
Be your own boss. Listen to this from Home Improvement USA. Ideal Furniture can set you up with your own furniture distribution center. You can offer name brand mattress and furniture at a fraction of the cost of traditional retail stores. They combine factory direct pricing with their exclusive, no-cost furniture broker marketing system that allows you to substantially undercut retail store prices while generating amazing profits. Getting started with Ideal Furniture is easy, with an initial investment under $10,000. They've been around for decades, have over 110 distribution centers across the country, and are rated A+ with the Better Business Bureau and other consumer review sites. Let us walk you through it.
Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. That's 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. Be your own boss. Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com.